Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Robin Scott, enjoy the Kirkland Signature Bordeaux Superieur from France. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
It's good to be here, back in the real wine world after the Wine Vault International Wine Challenge. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
It was fun.
It
was a brutal death, is what it was. 10 wines of low caliber, back to back to back. It was like being shot over and over and over again by, like, rubber bullets. It was painful. But that's okay.
Rebecca's recovering from organ transplant surgery required by participating in the episode. My dialysis is coming along well, and Rob, well,
I'm dead.
He liked it.
That was rough. We will not be drinking any more of those again. Let's just say that. We did it, and we're done. So, we're not buying the whites. That's okay. On tonight's show, we're moving on to another suspicious wine. Hopefully we have higher hopes for this. This has been really cheap wine tonight.
Rob's got high hopes.
Well, we're back at Costco, but this time for the Kirkland Signatures Bordeaux Superieur Grand Vin de Bordeaux. So, it's the entry-level Bordeaux, well, as you know, in California, this is a good comp. You have California. Then you have, say, Sonoma, North Coast, things of that nature. Well, think of Bordeaux as Napa, all right? Well, within Napa, there are a multitude of sub-AVAs, a multitude. Oakville, you know, St. Helena, all that kind of stuff. Well, this is Napa in general, as opposed to Bordeaux Saint-Julien or Pomerol or any of that, or Saint-Emilion. So this is the overall area, and it can even go on the outskirts. So not great area, but still Bordeaux-centric. And this is Kirkland's entry. Now, often Bordeaux Superiors, they go for, I don't know, what, in the teens?
At best.
Yeah. And sometimes a little bit less than that for cheap stuff. This, though, is $6.99. Now, one thing I appreciate about Kirkland Signature Wines is they tell you who the producer is.
Yep.
And this is Chateau Petit Frelon. They used to do a Bordeaux Superior. It was in the teens. But now they are the producer for this. And quite frankly, this label is probably the most beautiful label for a $6.99 wine I've ever seen. Dark navy blue with gold copper accents. The estate is shown on the label just like a classic Bordeaux would be. It's really, really beautiful packaging, in my opinion. 60-40 Cabernet and Merlot.
It's easy for you to say.
I know. And so it's predominantly Cab, not a Merlot-centric wine.
I would make the comparison more Bordeaux Superior to, not to Napa, but to California Designate.
No, Scott, that's Pédoc. That's France. That's just France. France as a whole is that, Scott. That wouldn't be at all correct. It's not. Because California, they have so many different areas it could be drawn from. It could be Central Coast.
I agree.
But it's similar category for Bordeaux.
No,
but Bordeaux, Scott, is centralized in, because California is a similar size to France, and it's a growing place in and of itself. So you have to extrapolate it in that sense. California to France is equal. It's not United States to California. That's not how it works, because there's certain parts that don't even grow stuff. So in California, see, your California would be just like it says France on the label or whatnot. There's not even a reference.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
Drew it down.
Fat bastard. What is it?
Fat Bastard has designated.
It's Paydock. Mm-hmm. It's Mediterranean. But it's a blend of, it's a Mutt. This isn't a Mutt. This is from a defined area within Bordeaux. Bordeaux, just like Burgundy, it's a defined area. And so that would be the only thing. Scott, don't him and haul.
Him and haul.
And also in size-wise, Bordeaux and Napa generally, that's comparable.
You don't know anything to compare to talk about size-wise.
What do you mean? Square miles? Those no. two are, this, it's not that far off between
talking about
those.
More, you know.
It's the truth.
Personal to you.
Whatever. But that's the truth, size-wise. Now, quality-wise, I mean, the outskirts of Bordeaux aren't Napa. But then again, we've had Napa that isn't very good either.
Correct. However, when you get to the different layers...
Well, I'm not even saying that.
...levels of the designates of French wines, it's not exactly the same thing, but this is...
It's specific within the AOC of Bordeaux. It's within Bordeaux. It all has to come within Bordeaux. That is fact.
However, from a quality standpoint, I would compare it just because
it's the bottom. I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about just geographics, that's all.
From the open designation of what you can put into it, California designates kind of a direct comparison. In France, they can do what they want.
No. France.
And they
France,
can make it how they want.
No. Scott, there are requirements on anything that's in Bordeaux. If it's outside that, and it's just around France in general, it's not from an AVA specific or AOC as it would be, it isn't subject to that stuff. But this does have rules it has to follow. It's just a fact. California does not. There are some rules in California. That's
We're American. That's
more labeling centric than it is actual product. So this actually has to follow through some stuff. But not even, there's stuff that's even below this too. This isn't like the lowest rung of stuff that could be in Bordeaux. Stuff that's called Cabernet that's made in Bordeaux is lower than this technically. So
usually made just for a dumb amount of cans. Yes. That would probably be the lowest designation.
But not all that stuff tastes bad either. It's not necessarily quality wise either. It's not, we're just talking about size wise. That's all. Just size, not quality, because quality is relative. But this is very, very cheap. Very cheap, as Kirkland wines tend to be. We've had some great stuff from them. We've also had a couple. We've had really bad stuff from Alexander Valley. Their Alexander Valley Cabernet was terrible. But their Gigondas was good.
Gigondas was really good.
Running out of a second one. We did their Malbec. It was okay. Remember that one? What the hell is that called? I don't know if that's Kirkland Signature, but it was their cheap Malbec. A lot of things, though, are Kirkland specific. And we've had a lot of other things, too. They have some good values in there, cheap stuff. You need to let it breathe for a couple days. But
yeah, the vintages that Alexander Valley had, it just had a major flaw.
Oh, we did the Tempranillo from the, it was a Reserva, wasn't it?
I don't remember the Tempranillo, how much we liked that or didn't like it.
It was fine. It was fine. It was cheap, just like this. It was fine. We liked it enough. There was a couple other things, too, that we've done that were just, they were fine. They were good. Solidly made. And so will this keep on that? I hope so, because I have 5 more bottles of it. So,
well, but again, big deal that Kirkland says, here's where this wine comes from.
Yes.
Some of the producers have some chops. Some of them you're still like, okay, thanks for telling us who that is. We don't know who the fuck they are.
Yeah, these guys used to have be under their own label, and nobody, they're not anymore. They found it a little more easy to sell their wines through Kirkland. That's fine. That's a marketing choice. It isn't that way. They probably sell it in France. It's not through Kirkland, mind you.
It's
a way to be marketed in California, in the United States.
It's not just in the United States and New Zealand and other areas around the world. It happens to France, too. There's a point where you transition and you want to cash out and you want to leave your bequests to your family, and there's no other way to do that than to sell out or sign a contract with Costco to put their label on it, and they handle the mass marketing.
Yeah, and once again, they're selling it at a budget. So this stuff shouldn't be the top grapes there. But then again, I don't think this is a top place anyway. So folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the Kirkland Signature Bordeaux Superieur. Now, this is, you know, these sometimes are reviewed by wine magazines. Wine Enthusiast has reviewed this in the past and gave it in the mid to high 80s. But it isn't something you typically see in the Wine Spectator. Occasionally they'll throw that in there, but it's kind of like, you know, how much money do they really want to throw out that kind of stuff? You know what
there
I mean?
There are people that just go out and review Kirkland wines, just go out and review Trader Joe's wines. And
there are.
You'll see these in Vivino and other people in the public score them, and you're gonna see a lot of scores for this because a lot of people drink it.
Reverse Wine Snob, that blog talks about it. They gave it 80, he gave it 87 of their points. It's all relative though. They liked it though. They've always liked this. A couple of vintages they were a little down on it, but simplistic. But you know, it's the old adage is with these cheaper wines, what are you pulling out of them? You're pulling out just red, you know, dark fruits, basic things. You're not going to necessarily pull out a blueberry. You're not necessarily going to pull out a plum. You're not going to pull out these specific things. But in generality, you're going to find some stuff that's good there. And it might be just a Wednesday night pour. It might be a house wine for you. But it's $6.99.
All right.
And the question is, how can you get that anything that's enjoyable in California at that price? You can't. You're at bottom shelf flip-flop price territory.
We've tried. You know, talked about California designate wines earlier. We're on the journey to find just a good Cab Sauvignon California designate. Yet to find it.
Well, here's a question, folks. Some people don't realize this. Why is it that you can possibly get wines in Europe that are sub-10 that are of decent quality, where in California you cannot do that? Do you know why that is, Scott? The biggest reason. The most common reason, I guess would be the term. In Europe, the majority of the wineries own the land that they're producing off of. They okay. don't have a note on it. So it's normally, a lot of them, especially the big wine producers, it's just passed down from generation to generation. Right. And so in California, it's $1 million an acre, $2 million an acre. And they're paying off all of that overhead right off the top. And that's why you're seeing the extra $3, $4, $5 a bottle on top of that. So you might find a Proto Colo at $8.99. Why? Because they can sell that. They don't have the overhead.
Right.
That's why this wine is there. They probably, I'm sure, own the vineyards, own the winery. They don't have a lot of overhead, so they don't have to sell it at $14, $15 to be profitable. They can be profitable at, well, really, they probably are selling it at, what, $4 to Costco? Costco's marking up a couple bucks. Not a lot of money left over there. But they are doing this because they're making money on it.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. What's Costco's margins?
Yeah, it would have to be small because there's not a lot left over after that. So maybe sell at 3.5.
And it could be a smaller margin, just depending on who handles the cost for getting it overseas. Right?
Yeah, maybe they're bringing it in and bottling it here, but you know, you'd think it'd be a more generic label if they're doing that too. This is a lot like the winery's original label back when they did it themselves. So it was blue like this, and you know, Petit Frelon. It looked a little bit like this label. So
you know, I don't know if Costco deals through a wine distributor and importer, or if they do that stuff themselves.
No, it's imported by Misa Imports out of Dallas. So, and it might be a thing where they bring it in. Normally, though, like Scott said, you have to have an importer to bring it in. Costco can't act as their own importer. So they're probably being that person, that entity for them. But they have contracts with these places, so.
Yeah.
And who knows? They might be making something better under a different label, too. And this is how they get their young stuff out. It could be. There's a million different things. So in the glass, it looks like a Bordeaux. It's very dark. Dense looking, actually. It looks nice in the glass.
Actually, it might even be on the darker side of Bordeaux's.
It might, yeah. But it's more Cab than Merlot.
Does that concern you, that it's just Cab Merlot and there are another little twinkle of this, twinkle of that? It kind of, I look at it and go, I wonder what the blend is, and I go, oh, 60-40.
At this level, it doesn't, because often you're not going to see a lot of blending, Scott. You know, they're not trying to really craft the next great wine here. So, no, it doesn't surprise me. And also,
does it make you draw pause?
No, because these are the two most basic, easy grapes to grow in Bordeaux, too. Petit Verdot, that's harder. So you're throwing Cab Franc, it's harder. Those are a little more fickle grapes, and Petit Verdot doesn't ripen at the same time as anything else either. So it does not surprise me at all that you have the most two basic grapes. Also, why do they do it? For recognition.
Just recognition.
The most common two Bordeaux grapes are these.
You're selling to Costco.
Yeah, that's
Durrell,
why.
Durrell, and Durrell.
Yep.
Although, I know people who enjoy wine, and they love to pick up different things from the Costco.
It's fun to go in.
And you don't know what you're going to find there. I mean, if you look online, you do. But if you're just a casual shopper, you go, well, you know, I like this from Costco. Mm-hmm. Why don't I try the Gigondas?
Well, Gigondas. We had their Cote de Rhone. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
That was the other one we did.
I don't know. Did we do that on the show? I don't know if we did or not. I don't recall. But yeah, we've done several of the things, and the only things we did not like are really out of California. That's it.
I think we did it on the show. It might not made the air.
That you might be right there. You might be right.
But it's in the glass. You know, we're drinking from the big boys tonight.
Yeah, the Grand Vin Bordeaux. The
Grand Vin Bordeaux glasses. Little tartaric acid crystalline structure.
A little bit.
Which might mean there's a little acidity to this.
Should be.
Actually, chunky crystalline structures, to be honest.
The nose is a little bit closed. There's a little bit of cassis. It verges on green, but it never quite... It kind of vacillates between that. But I don't think it ever quite goes that far. But it is closed. Maybe a little bit of blackjack.
There's something green in there. It's just like a grassy vegetation thing.
Little tea. Menthol.
I do like that. The black licorice with kind of the black tea.
Mm-hmm. Better Bordeaux will be a lot more perfumey and more mineral driven and be a lot more expansive, so. There we go.
With this blend, I might expect something from the oaking, and it really doesn't show the oaking on the nose. Which is neither a good thing nor a bad thing, but because it's so just Cab and Merlot driven, I might expect that.
I tasted it. It's a heavy wine. It's weighty. Been so long since I tasted something that tastes like wine, and my palate's maybe a little bit marred. It has pretty bright blackberry and plummy notes on the front palate. It has a little bit of leather and tobacco in the mid, and it kind of then shifts into kind of an oakier finish.
Yeah, and it's this little lingering finish.
Yeah,
but my first impression of the wine is that front and mid palate, they're a little short.
Well, they are
it's
a little
kind of condensed.
Well, the front palate is somewhat juicy, but it does taste a little bit. It tastes a little bit taller than it does wide. If you get my drift, it's the length, height, flavor in relative flavor, it has a very strong flavor, but lengthwise, it isn't necessarily paced out. Will that cure with a couple years of age? One of the reviews I saw from Wine Enthusiast did say best after 2023, and this is like an 18. You know, maybe after 2 years. it will lengthen out. That's possible with this wine. That's not ridiculous. And if you could do it with a $6.99 wine, that'd be great. There is a lot of, there's some size, though, to this wine, Scott. Not in body, but in richness and flavor.
Well.
So that could be indicative
some degree,
very short term.
The body's a little bigger than you'd expect from a Bordeaux.
At this price point, too.
Just in general for me, I expect a more lithy experience. And it's fine. And again, it's a $6.99 Bordeaux.
You expect maybe a little bit more deft touch.
Subtlety, yes.
This wine isn't necessarily about that. It's, I would say it's more of a greatest hits of Bordeaux.
I tell you who...
A Time Life greatest hits.
It drinks more California to some degree than French in style. It's just...
Well, it doesn't have any flavors from California, but...
But stylistically, as you said, that bigger profile, that bigger height rather than the width.
It's a montage of Bordeaux notes.
A brute, like...
Yeah.
A bigger California cab.
It's a $6.99 wine that has flavors that you recognize and enjoy, and nothing really that's offensive either. When I read the Wednesday or the midweek wine, that fits a little bit. I mean, the price point makes it make sense.
Yeah.
At 14 or 15, you would be...
I'd be asking more questions about how is this put together.
You would ask more questions, probably because Chateau Bordeneau is $14, and it's exceptional. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. But you can buy a case of this for, what, $80?
People are going to like this.
Sure.
Particularly your casual, if you're just going to quaff it and drink it and not draw air over it and try to analyze it. It's a little disjointed, is not the right word. That's not quite fair, but...
It's simpler.
It's not quite put together as well as you'd want it to be, but again, it's $7. So, but I think red wine drinkers, I think California cab drinkers are going to like this Bordeaux. Don't be afraid.
I think you should try it.
Yeah.
Well, it's $7.
It's $7.
I mean, for Christ's sake, bro. I mean, you're not out anything.
Well, not only that, but it's like, do you rather have this or 19 Crimes?
This. If you had a glass of your own urine and you asked me, would you rather have this or 19 Crimes? I would hesitate, but I would probably still pick your urine.
It depends how much red wine I've been drinking.
That's true. Is it a great grizzly in there?
And you never know. I might have eaten some asparagus.
Oh, that's just nice.
A nice aroma. Yeah,
you have some kidney stones too, probably.
Well,
that's right.
That brings introduce some acidity to the wine.
Don't keep talking that way. You're turning me on. I don't want to talk. I don't want
to
get.
Didn't mean to turn you on.
I'm wearing sweatpants. It would be very obvious. All 2.5 inches would be. Don't get jealous, Scott. 2.5 inches would be just ready to go. Scott doesn't have. It's okay, Scott. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's not how well they say it's not the size. It's how you use it. But in reality. There is a limit, Scott. I mean, you know, that, I don't know what you do with that.
Wine Vault players with Wilfred Wrong and the crusty sweatpants.
No, they're not crusty right now. But if you keep talking about your urine, then I don't know what would happen.
Actually, you were talking about my urine.
No, you were talking about it.
I was talking about asparagus.
In your urine. Yes, I got it. Yeah.
I said it might add an aroma.
I didn't miss a single drop of that conversation. Pun intended. That's right.
Back to the wine.
I need to go take a shower.
It does have...
A golden
There's
shower.
A couple things that... I do wish it had a little less acidity. And maybe that's the thing that makes it headed towards disjointed. But again, it's a $7 wine. But if you just analyze it for what it is, price point... Not part of the equation. There's elements of good wines, but these kind of don't quite go together perfectly.
The front palate is so promising, really, especially for the price. But then, yes, in the mid palate is when the acidity kicks in a little bit, and it kind of it tampers all that down.
Yeah,
I think actually, with some time in the bottle, I think that will lessen a bit, and it will show a little bit more minerality. Now, and lengthen and soften a little bit. But it's a fine line when you have a wine this inexpensive.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to go 5 years with it, but what if you forgot it? Well, it wouldn't matter. It's $6-$7. But I mean, I think you buy a case of it, for instance. You know, if it was a wedding, Scott, this is really something you could buy for a wedding. I mean, that would be so classy and such a nice thing to buy.
I don't know about classy, but you're going to have shit ton.
The labels are classy.
But you've got shit ton worse wedding wines than this. And like, so if Rob would put time on a $7 bottle, the first thing that he'd like to do, you're planning a wedding, you're 18 months out, buy 5 cases of this, let it sit for 18 months. Might be about right. You could do a lot worse. In recent.
Yeah, you might have a nice bottle. I would keep
checking it.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do with your 5 cases of wine?
Drink it.
Be thirsty.
You got to drink it.
In this past 12 months of Wine Vault episodes, this would be up there in wedding wines.
Oh, this is
for the price point. This would be up there.
For classy wedding wine. Well, now, you have to put a little thing over the
it at Costco, so you don't get to call it classy, Rob.
I wonder if you could scrape the Kirkland off. No, you can't.
It's not a scratch and sniff.
A blue Sharpie over the Kirkland. Just a little duct tape over that.
Classy.
Yeah. I mean, the Kirkland throws that off, but if you cut the very
duct tape.
They just can't let you enjoy the moment. They have to put Kirkland. It's like this has this classy label that says Kirkland Signature at the top. And it's like, you know what? Why can't they have something that doesn't look like it's stamped on a prison uniform? Well, they could have had any. First of all, what is Kirkland? I know Kirkland's their label, but what does. They could have made their labels look like anything, right? They made it look like that. And the signature is in script, but Kirkland is just stamped on there.
But it's okay. It's like Kirkland has some great value products.
They do.
I know multiple golfers that love that Kirkland urethane cover golf ball.
Yeah.
They're well-rounded. You get decent spin rate. They're hard to cut. And they're like $1.25 a ball or something. Something stupid.
You don't see them all the time.
And I know multiple people play them.
One thing about Kirkland, too, you'll notice that there are different wines at different times of the year. That's because that's when those wines are released. Yeah. They put them up. So this right now is like the January, February, March wine. So this is going to be released. Get to Costco if you want to try this because it's not going to be there in April or May. They'll be on to something new, which is kind of fun because you can buy your cases. I mean, I don't know, Scott and I had talked about, I mean, I bought 5 or 6 bottles, but if we want to buy more of this.
I could have 6 bottles of this. It's like.
Deb would like it.
I think people would like it. If you drink red wine, maybe you like it, maybe you don't. I think it's, approachable is not the right word, but I think it's likable. I think
it's likable.
If you're not stuck in your own single bottle of red wine, whether that's Cab or Merlot or whatever, and you're open to try different things, I think most people find this easy to drink. And then when you tell them it's a $7 bottle of wine, they'll go, get the fuck out of here.
They would say that. Your cousin would probably like it.
Maybe, yeah. Now, of the Kirklands, by far the Gigondas was our favorite.
Oh, that was a really great wine, though. I mean, that was
17, $18.
No, it was $14.99. That was good just as wine. I just kind of shake my head that I didn't buy more of that. But
no shit. That comes around again.
Yeah, that was a good Gorgondas. It wasn't like, oh, it was good for $14.99. No. That was good for Gorgondas.
Yeah. And it's not a varietal you see in the States much, but when you do, well, it's significantly higher price.
Well, it's Rhone. Gorgondas isn't a varietal. It's a region within Rhone.
But excuse me. But when you see that come out, it's not common here.
Oh, no. The AOC of Gorgondas, you know, your Jagals, your Chaputier, all those guys, they do a Gorgondas, but Hermitage, or Crozes Hermitage, Cote du Rhone, those are a lot more commonly bought and sold than Gorgondas. Yeah, it's just, you know. Yes, you're right in that regard. It's not one of the necessary. Although, Gorgondas has its fans. But then again, when we start talking about Crozes Hermitage and Hermitage and Cote du Rhone, the problem is a lot of them have similar, you know, varietal blends. And so, you know, some are Grenache specific, some are Syrah specific. Less with Hermitage, which is Syrah dominated, but. You know, and so flavor profiles, though, they can really overlap a little bit, especially when you get good quality ones. I mean, right now you can buy, they're on wine.com, even in Ohio, and I'm buying them $28 Cote du Rhones. But they are commune specific. They're really elite stuff. And we drink, what is the Olivet? We love that stuff from them. And that's 22, 23, but we buy it because we love it. So. But yeah, the Gorgondas was just, it wasn't that it was good for Kirkland or good for a wine that was $15. It was a good fucking wine, period. And this is really a nice thing to drink. And it's cheap. If it were $11 or $12, I think we'd say, that's okay. It's okay. It's better than Monet Canet. Better than that shit.
Yeah.
And then it's better than like the, remember that Chateau Franc? That shit. That's a Bordeaux Superior. Yeah, that was not particularly good. And there's a myriad of them that sit out there in the teens that they are Grand Vins and they're not a great deal better than this at all if they are better than this. So price-wise, It does a good job, and it's, not bad.
I'm getting a little funky thing going on, but I'm questioning, is it this wine or is it the International Wine Challenge?
It's still the International Wine Challenge.
I don't know. Why is it hitting me now?
Oh, it's also a little bit of a chalky, loamy finish. That's nice. Limestone soils, baby.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do, but there's a little funky thing going on with it.
Well, your palate and my palate too. We did the 10. Some of those wines did burn the palate a little bit, but I still can taste this just fine. But your palate might be burnt just a little bit,
because
some of those wines were wickedly
harsh.
Oh, Jesus. So don't do that. But
what? So another thing I don't think we've talked about enough with this one. And it comes down to why we've discussed a $7 bottle of wine that you could put down for a little while and maybe it would improve.
Yeah.
The tannins are beauties in this.
Yeah.
I would call them chewy.
Yeah.
And
chewy and chalky.
And it's got a nice tannic backbone.
It's well done. Scott is still correct. There's a bit of an acidity in the mid palate that does... It keeps the wine from fully integrated. It's not quite disjointed, but it doesn't really mesh like you would like it to.
It's just a little weird.
But the acidity is one thing that would die down with some bottle age. So that's promising.
The other thing that's not... Disjointed's not a fair term.
Way before that, but it's the same vein.
Front palate kind of peaks, and then the mid palate, that's where that acidity comes up. But what else is there in the mid palate? It's kind of, the mid palate's kind of
Well, I think there's stuff there. It's just that it's thrown off a little bit.
I would want a little earthiness or a little chalkiness.
Tobacco.
It's a $7 bottle of wine, folks.
When you're nitpicking to that point,
yeah,
I think you've got a decent wine in the glass.
And you know, I think the Cali cab drinkers will enjoy this because of the front palate. It's not going to follow up with chocolate. It's not going to follow up with
cheese. Scott, it does have tobacco in the mid palate.
If you say so.
Try it again. More of a quaff.
If you say so.
It hits. And then there's some drying baker's chocolate into the tannin. It's got several elements for. Now, the fruit, you're not going to break apart the fruit. You just know that there's a gob of fruit, and it's somewhat fleshy. But you're not going to say it's plum, it's this, it's that. I mean, blackberry, plum, whatever. We say this shit all the time. It doesn't necessarily... I mean, everything fucking tastes like blackberry. I mean, it's one of the most nondescript... I mean, that's one thing we're going to talk about on the potpourri here in a bit. But
I think it does carry over some fruit to the finish that is plum or prune, and that's kind of nice, but it's just the...
Yeah.
It's a $7 bottle of wine, folks.
I know. So, folks, we're
going to... Give it a fucking shot.
I agree. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, Scott, on tonight's potpourri, what we're going to discuss are overused wine terms, wine descriptors, ones that really don't mean that much, in your opinion. And I think that we're guilty of some of this sometimes, partly because when you're dealing with cheaper wines, it's harder to be specific. So you're going to say dark red fruits, dark black fruits, dark blue fruits. Why? Because the wine's not exhibiting specific blueberry, blackberry. As you get better wines, you can pull more specific things out of it, but you know.
I don't have a problem with those terms, dark.
No.
Dark fruits, but sometimes I think, not us, we would never overuse this term, but brambly fruits. It's like, come on, if you're having a Zin or a Cali Cab, be more succinct, or if you can't, just say dark berry.
Well,
or
brambly, I think what I would normally use it in is a term of a Zin that doesn't have a lot of definition to it. So it has a lovely, it's a nice drinking, simplistic Zin, but once again, pulling out of the specific varietals might be a little bit tougher. It, normally, Briar Patch is an interesting way to say it, but
black. Berry, blueberry, raspberry, some combination.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, really, none of those specific things speak to you on an individual basis, what are you going to say?
Well,
and it's a little bit rustic. It's a little bit this, a little bit that. That's brambly.
It's well documented that there's plenty of voices speaking to you in your head.
But Zin normally can be referred to as brambly. I understand that you don't understand what that means.
Zin is one of those voices in your head.
Well, brambly in of itself isn't a defined term, but I know if the person knows what they mean when they say it, I guess it means a lot to the person saying it, but yeah, it is something that isn't as specific.
It's a little bit overused.
I don't know.
What's another phrase that's overused in the wine industry? I fucking hate.
What's that?
Drink or hold. Well, make up your fucking mind.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't do both.
I mean, yeah. I've got a...
What are you trying to say?
$299 bottle of Chateauneuf du Pape. Drink or hold.
Well, it's liquid. You can always fucking drink
it. Fuck off.
Give a window.
If you're going to hold it, hold it. I mean, it's I just think it's so, it's gauche. Can be enjoyed now or aged up to 20 years. No. When should you drink it? Should you hold it or not?
Yeah.
Or hold.
You're the expert.
Go fuck off.
Give somebody a window. Yes, I don't like wine reviews on a specific thing. They don't give a window. I mean, if you completely ignore it, either it's a drink now and write drink now, or give a general, give people an idea.
It's one of the reasons we always liked Bob Parker's Wine Advocate. They typically...
He rarely...
They did give you a window of drinking.
Or he's at least going to say, you can hold it for a decade or hold it for 5 years.
And that's
They're
going to
say something. Be complete in that, yeah, I suppose.
So that's, for me, is maybe it's not overused, but fuck, I hate it.
Well, it doesn't give you a full picture of the wine.
It's douchey.
Mm-hmm.
It's bougie.
Another thing I don't like is bold red fruits. It's like, what are bold fruits? What's a bold fruit? I mean, are you saying that the wine is full-bodied? Are you saying that it's fruit-forward, big fruits? What do you mean by that, you know? I don't like it when people say sandalwood. Why? Because nobody knows. I don't like descriptors that don't describe something that someone would know what it tastes like.
Well, not just tastes like, but it's like sandalwood's a candle flavor.
Well, but
you know what I mean? It's
damn some plums. Didn't James said, damn some plums. How is that different than a regular fucking plum?
Yeah.
Explain that. Well, there must be some other element to the wine that differentiates it from being plum.
I think it's a plum that was grown by Samson's brother, Damson.
It's like dickwad. I don't eat plums side by side, and I don't do a plum tasting. If I did, that probably involves a ball gag and someplace I don't want to be in to begin with. So how the fuck would someone know what a damson? And you know what? This is the other thing. That dickhead, James, sorry, James, he doesn't know what a goddamn damson plum tastes like. I'm a plum aficionado. No, you're not, James. You're not a plum. And who the hell, you know, I know you're going to say, oh, people love plums. People don't eat that many plums anymore. It's not a big fruit, you know? It's just like, I mean, my kids eat blueberries like they're going out of style. They don't eat plums. Who buys plums? I mean, you buy apples. You
buy bananas. Okay to buy plums, but who buys a damson plum?
Yeah, it's like, what is that? Overly specific terms.
Persimmon?
Well, I kind of wouldn't. I mean, in white.
Persimmon fruit?
I know, but pomegranate. I mean, I kind of know what you mean, but. Or in white wines, tropical fruits. I guess that's just like black fruits. What?
Well, like, I think that's a fair term when you're talking about a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
But that's not tropical fruits.
Well, but it can be.
Bad ones, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
But tropical fruits, though, there's a big difference between an orange and a pineapple. And peach, you can tell the difference between something that tastes like an orange or tastes like a pineapple. They're both technically tropical fruits. Does that mean banana?
But you get that whole mango.
But these are different. You don't have to be lazy.
Pineapple.
You can say tropical lifesavers and make fun of it because that does, a tropical lifesaver does have a defined flavor that everybody knows. But, you know.
But you can't say tropical fruit, but you can say tropical lifesavers.
Yes, because you should be able to pick out, is it pineapple? Is it orange? Is it peach? I don't know.
Now
which one
being
is it?
Douchey.
Well, you can do better. Unless it's Kendall Jackson, Chardonnay, then you know it's actually tropical fruits. So
it's okay.
Passion fruit.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Which is more bougie? Saying passion fruit or tropical fruits? Because you...
Passion fruit.
You tell me the difference.
Star fruit. Passion fruit.
Those are tropical fruits.
I know.
But nobody knows the difference between star fruit and passion fruit.
Oh, no. Some of them do.
Oh, yeah.
What
of course
about
you do.
Rose water? Don't you taste
rose petals? Rose petals.
Well, rose petals. Rose petals. On the nose?
On the palate, James has talked about rose petals.
Okay.
And rose water.
Well, this is the thing. Rose petals as opposed to a rose. I know we like to say rose petals, but it's rose. Floral accents. Rose has a distinctive flavor or smell. And I suppose if you ate it. But we do get silly sometimes. What are legitimate wine descriptors? Blackberry, blueberry, plum. You could even go prune. Prune helps you understand that the fact is the wine has a bit of a slightly overripe, maybe even portish kind of quality to it.
Pinot Funk?
Well, Pinot Funk, but they don't really know what that means. I'm more specific.
But I'm saying, I think that's a good descriptor. I think it's a good term.
Yeah, but people don't.
Put your nose in it, you get the Pinot Funk.
But what is Pinot Funk, though? Mushroom, maybe a little bit of...
Mushroom, a little barnyard.
Yes, that's what you mean. Barnyard mushroom. Those things are just definitive.
But I think it's just a more general term, and it's got a range of things.
Useful, specific things that anyone...
I get it.
But yeah, if I say barnyard, you're going to know what I mean.
Yes.
If I say mushroom, you're going to know what I mean.
But I think Pinot Funk encapsulates some of those things.
Well, cherry, mushroom, barnyard.
And I think that's fine. I think that, for me, that's an acceptable term. Is it an overused, misused term? No, not so much. I don't think so.
We don't see that in written reviews. Sometimes we'll say it has the Pinot Funk, but and that's what you're referring to. But I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, but when I'm talking, the most useful terms, though, in fruit terms, you know, people are going to pick out blackberry. They're going to pick out, man, blueberry is a little bit more nuanced, but you might pick out in dark fruits, for instance. Nobody knows what cassis tastes like unless you drink wine, because nobody eats cassis.
And cassis blends into mocha and chocolate so easily.
It does.
And the difference between red currant and...
Nobody eats currant either.
But...
Black currant, red currant.
Yeah, what's the difference? That's...
You know what currant tastes like if you drink wine.
We've made fun of each other
from drinking wine, not from eating goddamn currant.
Allegedly.
I don't eat currant berries, right? I don't eat currant berries, but I know what it tastes like in the constructs of wine. Does that mean I know what currant tastes like? I don't know.
And sometimes, you know, we talk ourselves into things that's like, you know, savory fruits where we get into like stewed fruit and then we... try and further describe it. And sometimes you just have a general feeling, and it's just a comparison point.
It's a very good point.
You're talking about grape juice that's been fermented to make wine, and you're just talking about a general descriptor. So some of these things can be more tough. And I'm sure if there's Psalms out there that would listen to this, they're like, listen to these fucking goofballs. But it is it is. The black currant versus
go
red
take
currant.
Somebody a fucking menu. They need another napkin. They dropped their fork. You need to bring that to them. I'm sorry. I said that a lot.
Be nice. You did.
I said to...
Psalms put a lot of time and effort into studies and do things.
I actually was going to do that. I was going to... But not to be... But I realized... I actually did some research onto taking online classes to get the certification. But you can't just do that. It doesn't work that way. It's almost, I mean, it would cost a couple grand. And it ain't worth that to me. I thought you could do like a study course online or whatever with books, take an exam for like $400 or $500, and then have like the level one certification, whatever. That's not the case. Cannot do that.
Well, I don't think it necessarily has to be that expensive. It's just usually where you go to take the test, it's a whole weekend. It's in fucking New York City. Or well, wherever you can go take
that's,
a test.
That's level
that's
three.
That's the cost.
The basic one, I would think, would be, but it's not. I think that at the end of the day, you'd probably have a couple grand in getting a level one certification. I was like, no.
My friend Robin, who was level two studying for level three last time I talked to her, she spent a lot more in travel than any cost for the materials.
Well, when you get to 2 to 3... Yeah, because you can't, you have to.
It's where three on up is where you get into all those tastings and, you know, different kits for, you know, aromas and.
I realize, though, you can't just do it for fun. Well, you can, but.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, with a just a if I had a study guide, I could pass the written one without much problem. But and then I could pass the tasting. But it's like I don't
think there's a tasting on level one.
It is. In reality, because
I think there's a writ. I think
there's courses, but to actually have a certification, you can pretend that you're a sommelier all the time because it's not like they can sue you for saying that. But in reality, though, and then when you get up into that part, as you go further, there's a serving portion. I'm not going to be a waiter or a bartender. I don't care. But nevertheless,
pairing serving, yeah, the level four.
I guess I'll just continue to just be a wine enthusiast. That's what I'll be. Without...
You could be an advocate.
I could be a wine advocate.
You could be a spectator. You are a spectator.
Maybe I'll just be a tasting panel.
Your eyes are getting bad, though, so maybe you can't be a spectator. You could be a spectacle.
You could be Wilford. You could always do that. You could be a demented old man that wears sweatpants and then meets Scott at the Tamarack Mall and Scott gets a hand job from me and, you know, that kind of guy. Did you know that Scott was on Facebook Marketplace and was looking at, there's a dude that has a mannequin for sale. Did you see that, Scott?
Only when you showed it to me,
Rob. That's right. I know. Anyway, the mannequin. We got to talk about this, folks. You got to look it up. I don't know if you can. It's oh my God. There's a zoom in on the face. It's called a tall mannequin. Apparently it's tall, 200 or best offer. And you pick it up at their door. Antoine has this mannequin man, you know, and he lives, near Gahanna in Columbus. Antoine in Gahanna in Columbus. I know that the people probably figured out who that was. The description of the mannequin is, this is not cheap like the ones you will see online. I will take best offer. Now, this is the thing, Antoine. Why are you looking up mannequins online? And why do you have a mannequin of a woman? It's a woman. And the mannequin itself's mouth opens wide and he has the mannequin dressed in his apartment. And the mannequin looks a little drunk. Wouldn't you say that, Scott?
Sure.
It looks like a drunk lady that's had a nice night out in the town and is yelling at some guy on the other side of the sidewalk that called her a slut or something. She's like, fuck you. How you gonna tell me I live my life? And that's what Antoine has this mannequin in his apartment. It's a little odd, Antoine. People will know you. By the way, about me, we might as well embarrass Antoine. I do not ship. If you want to buy something, you have to come to my house. Nobody is going to go to your house. You have a tall mannequin. And then he goes, it's the best for you and me if you go to his house. In other words, Antoine on Facebook that lives near Gahanna has plastic sheeting on the floor. And when you come to buy his tall mannequin, he's going to saw your feet off. Hopefully, he'll have asphyxiated you before he cut your feet off. But you don't know that. He might do that when you're still alive, but he's just drugged you. Now, I don't know that that's possible. I mean, allegedly. But still, you know, he has a 4.5 those star rating. And so, you know, somebody said he's notable. What? Oh, punctuality. His prices are good. Someone else liked him, John. Apparently, John likes the mannequin. I bet. Yeah, it's nice. But anyway, Antoine near Gahanna has a life-size woman mannequin who looks like she's drunk, yelling at sexual harassers on the sidewalk, and even has her in this neat, very very uptown, you know, business suit. I don't know where he got that from, but, you
this
know.
Is a long way from overused wine.
That's germs. True, but Antoine, look him up, and if you know him, this is the time to punch him in the dick. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Thank you. And we're back, folks. Other than for Antoine, who's apparently getting punched in the dick somewhere near Gehenna.
Arrested for
fucking a mannequin. Well, you know he put that his dick where that it didn't belong in that mannequin, right? But Scott, you would buy it, then you'd be undressing the mannequin, which is questionable at best. And then you'd find certain, you're like, why this mannequin's been modified. I thought I was getting a pristine, unmodified mannequin. Then you contact Antoine, and he'd go, how did you know that happened? Why were you taking off the mannequin's clothes?
Listen, I'm certain some of our listeners have already raised this question, but the question I have for you, sir, is why are you aware of these mannequin ads?
I wasn't. I was on Facebook Marketplace. I don't know why. I like to look at cars. And suddenly there was a mannequin.
Suddenly? So when you searched cars.
Shockingly.
A mannequin ad came up.
Yeah. Isn't that strange?
Not really. It just sounds like less than truthful.
I understand why that sounds suspicious. But I promise I've not bought any mannequins.
That wasn't the question. The question is, why were you looking at the ads?
Of the mannequin? Why wouldn't you? I was fascinated.
Oh, you're fascinating, all right. Yeah.
Fascination. Anyway, speaking of fascinating, the Bordeaux Superieur for Kirkland Signature. I have no idea where the bottle went. Scott, what did you do with the bottle?
Oh, we pitched it.
You threw it away?
Yeah.
Before we were done with it?
Yeah, we were done with it.
Petit Frelon.
Yeah.
Well, Chateau Petit Frelon.
We know what the label is.
I thought you'd...
60-40.
Merlot. Scott, what is your numerical score for this wine? It's better than the winter wine box.
It must go in the wine vault value wall of fame.
How can it? You threw it away.
It's the... epitome of a value Hall of Fame wine. No, yeah. It's not going to get the highest score. 87.
Yeah.
Fair. That's where I'm at. I mean.
That's where I'm at too, actually.
Yeah, I mean.
86, 87.
Yeah, range.
85,
87. Yeah, it doesn't deserve an 85. It's a better wine than an 85.
I know, but that's why it's 87.
I guess you could go 86 to 88 if you want to go a 2-point range, but I'm not going 88.
Not 88.
87's top of the scale.
Yeah, you can never... That's how...
I'm just going 87.
Back to the last section as opposed to, you know, opposed to Antoine's on mannequins. No, the top of the range is the top of the range. It never could be an 88. So if we say 85 to 87... It's probably not an 85, but if we give an 87, it's never going to be an 85, but it just never can be an 88.
And I guess, you know, could you go a little higher because you think these tannins could stand 5 years? I don't know. I'm not willing to say
that's not for the 80s. That's something from the 90s where you might say, oh, I'm going to bump it up to 93 from 92 because it has more ageability.
Mm.
You don't quantify that in the 80s.
Typically not. No. Could you, just on your baseline score, say, because I like the tannins, and it could take some time in a bottle, it's fine, but because it's, again, we're hesitant to say disjointed, but it's just not quite.
You have to already have.
It doesn't have a nice transition.
You have to have your ducks in a row as a wine to get to the point where then you can say, oh, does this have ageability?
And that's not even really the thing for me of why I'm not going 88. It just... It doesn't have that nice transition from front palate to mid palate to finish. There's just this gap of what happens in the front palate to the mid palate. And the finish is, it's not the most fantastic finish in the world either. It has a great tannic structure, great backbone, surprisingly big front palate.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly flavorful wine, which is a kind of a generic term, but still.
To use one of the overused terms from our potpourri, bold fruits.
Would you drink or hold?
Me now. Oh, Antoine warms her heart.
I have a...
Stay with him. You went there to buy a mannequin and he pulled you in and slit your throat.
I would put cash money down on the fact that Antoine does not have an actual human girlfriend or boyfriend. I mean, It's a lot of explaining to do. I bought it to resell. No, you didn't.
Life-sized male mannequin. Used.
Very used.
It's like, what's the market for that?
I mean, I've seen a lot of mannequins in stores. They don't look like
of
this mannequin.
Of course you have.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, this one even had, like, its teeth painted. It was very animated. It's like,
Rob's juvenile record has been washed clean from when he was stalking mannequins in the Lazarus.
This mannequin is highly posable. Why? Or maybe you don't want to know why, but it's like...
Rob started the hashtag mannequin 2 movement.
I mean, I see if I had like
too a, soon.
If I had
too
like,
soon?
Yes, it is. If I had a second Facebook account that was anonymous, I would
if
reach
you,
out.
If
I, yes,
if
I would reach out to Antoine just to
if,
fuck with
if,
him.
If you know who doesn't talk about second anonymous Facebook accounts? People who don't have one.
I don't know. Could you send me some unclothed pictures of the mannequin? Because I need to understand. If it's, you know, what's going on. I need to see the build construction. Yes. Now, can you pose next to the unclothed mannequin? James would fall into that. Yeah, see, I had a Facebook post, and I had a mannequin for sale, and I said, you know, I see the mannequin's dress, but I need to see the materials that the mannequin was built with. Can you take all the clothes off the mannequin? I was like, sure.
Antoine answers Rob's post with the question marks.
And they said,
what do you mean? I need the specifications.
We see that the mannequin is undressed, but we need to see a human body in comparison to the mannequin. We need you to get undressed and take pictures of yourself next to the mannequin. I said, that's highly unusual, but I do have the mannequin for sale for $75, so I need to get my money. So I took the pictures of myself nude next to the mannequin, nude, all angles, and they sent them back. And then they said, well, we need to see that the mannequin has personality and function. Can you? Well, I don't want to talk about what they asked me to do to the mannequin, but I did. I can't relive that experience. It was too scarring for me. Then I realized.
You did the 4-quadrant personality test?
No, they had me had sex with the mannequin, but I realized
then. James, that's not a personality test.
No, it wasn't. It was just me being a pervert, but. Then I realized it was Wilfred Wong, and he had been catfishing me all along just to get me naked and next to a mannequin. So it was quite horrendous.
No, I wouldn't call it horrendous. It was tremendous. It was fantastic. Most generally, my catfishing does not work. I end up sending new pictures of myself. I don't know why, but...
Can't imagine why that doesn't work in attracting anyone.
That's my first step, too. I don't know. I try to
It's like the first step in a 12-step?
Nah, there's 14 steps. I've got a lot of steps, Scott.
You do live on the second floor.
I normally I fail the 4th and the 19th step.
That's a long fall.
I know, and there's only 12 steps, so I don't know what happened. Maybe I blacked out after the step 7. I did, actually. I just blacked out a second ago, so, you know.
So, folks, 287s, Value Price Hall of Fame. Tip
Definitely.
Of the, tip of the cap.
Recommended.
Again. Yes, highly. Highly for the price, especially. The Kirkland Signature Bordeaux Superior.
We've had some higher ranked wines that I'd have to say we would recommend more for the price. Below $10, it's been a long time.
Ones that are good, Protocolo and this.
That's years ago now.
No, I've been having Protocolo regularly.
But I'm saying, since we first showed Protocolo on the show.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, you're going to see the Protocolo in the Wine Spectator soon as a recommended wine. So, well, maybe a smart buy, but or a best buy.
Well, it should be.
It is. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu, but we'll see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.